Hey, everybody. Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Really fun episode today. You guys are in for a real treat. Brad and I go solo, no guest, for the first chunk of the episode. And, you know, it's the fun that we always have when it's just Brad and I. We get our two heads together, which sometimes feels like three because Brad's head is the size of a mini bowling ball. But the silliness that comes out when we get together is just fucking, it's so unique, man. We have so much fun. You guys are really going to enjoy it. And we talk about our New Year's experiences, my week in Vegas, playing craps for the first time, Brad getting in trouble with the NCAA and the Rose Bowl and TMZ for doing some jokes that got him national news attention because he instigated some shit between Oregon and Florida State, and we get into all that stuff. And our good friend Sandy Danto also stops by the podcast. He came by to pick up a hard drive and then stuck around and added a lot of fun and flavor. Sandy's a good buddy of mine, been in tons of videos. He used to open for Pauly Shore. He opens for me now and was with me in Vegas, and we get into all that. It's a lot of fun. And then we closed the podcast by talking on the phone with a Seattle comic and buddy, Dylan Avila, who was attacked on stage. I'm sure you heard about this because it was fucking international news. He was running an open mic, and he, you know, one of the perks of this business is being able to, you know, if you put together a show the way Dylan did and you run it and you have a lot of passion and energy and the time that goes into something like that, then you also have the right to decline people that are abusing that spot that a lot of people work really hard to get. And he declined a guy who'd been taking advantage and being really offensive. And the guy retaliated by coming back and attacking Dylan on stage with an aluminum bat, centimeters away from killing Dylan, and which would have been just awful. He's got a wife and three kids. I can't even imagine what that would have been like. He miraculously survived, and it's fucking incredible and so lucky. And he's just one of the nicest dudes I've ever met. He's hilarious. His courage and spirit will inspire the shit out of you. And he joined us on the phone for the last 20 minutes of the podcast, which got really, really raw, man. And he was hilarious too. It's just like a testament to who he is. His spirit is just so strong, and I can't wait to see what he does next. He's a unique dude, and he got lucky, and he knows it. And you know, he's got a lot of funny left to give this world, and it's amazing to see the support and emotion that came out from comics, friends, family, comics you didn't even know that were reaching out to him. Big name comics: Jim Gaffigan, Doug Stanhope. It's a really unique profession that we do, and the love and community and the way that people band together. It's when somebody goes down, it affects everybody. And Dylan has stayed strong, and we get to talk to him. And it's, I don't think he's done any podcasts yet since his attack, and he's out of the hospital, and he was at home, and it was really awesome. I can't wait for you to hear it. Follow Dylan on Twitter at Dylan Avila, DylanAvila. Follow Sandy on Twitter at Sandy Danto. Follow Dylan on Twitter at Dylan Avila or Avila, again, whichever one it is. DylanAvila. Of course, follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad. We got some shows coming up, a lot of shows. Of course, I'm going on that big tour with Adam Devine starting February 10th. Through March 7th, we're going all over the country, man. Nashville, Orlando, New York, Boston, Chicago, Portland, Vancouver, Seattle, Anaheim, San Diego. I can't tell you how pumped I am for it. It's you work hard to get to a place where you can go on tours like this. And Adam's one of my best buds, and his fans are bananas. And it's going to be like traveling with a Beatle. I can't wait. So, of course, just find tickets online for that. I think if you just Google Adam Devine Tour, I'll be posting a link for tickets soon. But Google Adam Devine stand-up tour, and you should find a link for tickets in the city near you, and come out and see us. Brad Williams, where's he going to be? I'll tell you. He's going to be at the University of Denver tomorrow, January 13th, in Denver, Colorado. And then, of course, at Comedy Works in downtown Denver, January 14th through the 17th. Go see Brad. He's hilarious. He's just killing it right now. He's back into stand-up, and he's locked in. Go see him. And, of course, subscribe to the podcast. We know if you're listening, you already are. But tell your friends. Tell them how much you love it. Your tweets and your emails, keep those coming. We just tweet hashtag ABL and podcast. It's so awesome to see that when you guys, because again, these episodes come out. We don't know if you're loving them or not, but when you tweet at us and email us, it really lets us know. We appreciate it. We got so many amazing episodes coming up. I can't wait for you guys to hear. And we've even got a bonus episode this Thursday. Brad and I went to the Laker game a few nights ago and sat courtside. And a lot of shit happened in one night. And Brad and I had to rush home right after and do a bonus episode podcast to recount the whole night for you. It's not something we get to do a lot, sit courtside. And a lot of crazy shit went down. I'm sure you've seen the videos on our Instagram of Brad dancing and getting on TV and the Jumbotron and becoming a celebrity. And we couldn't go 2 feet without people wanting a picture with him post-game because it was so fucking unbelievable. Look up that video. It's on both of our Instagrams. We're going to do a whole bonus episode of the podcast coming out on Thursday to recap that night, because in that night we also met Chris Pratt, star of Guardians of the Galaxy, Parks and Recreation, and the upcoming Jurassic World. And I don't want to give it away, but he could be a future guest on the podcast. So get excited about that. Of course, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. Download it. Tell your friends to listen to it. Go to aboutlastnightpodcast.com to get all past episodes with Bob Saget, Paul Feig, Lisa Kudrow, Dana Carvey, Tony Danza, Melissa McCarthy, Bobby Lee, Michael McDonald, Steve-O, Andrew Santino, Brent Moore, and Ron Funches. Go to astoymerchandise.com and get your ABL and merchandise. We got t-shirts, tank tops, got some hats and stickers coming too. Estoymerchandise.com will get you all your ABL and gear to support the podcast. Wear it around town. Spread the good word. That's all the merch info. Those are the Twitter handles. That's the tour date info. And now, ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, and enjoy a very special, very hilarious, kind of emotional, but still awesome episode of the About Last Night podcast with Adam, Sandy, Brad, and Dylan.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. It's about last night.
We'll take it old school. We'll take it back to when we started doing podcasts at the Lovitz and go,
ladies and gentlemen, this is the About Last Night podcast.
We used to do that, didn't we?
We did used to do that.
We've come a long way, Brad.
Okay, Johnny Depp.
Brad, we've come a long way, and there's also Get Chocolat on DVD and Pirates of the Caribbean. They're filming a fifth one. And also, I was in the new Into the Woods movie, and also, I've put $50 on the Trailblazers to win the NBA Finals. Go Seahawks.
By the way, said go Seahawks, it would make my year.
Oh, absolutely. And I love that when you do a Johnny Depp impression, you do the arms. Like, you do like an arm thing.
You can't see that when I'm doing it. But
no, but you go,
what helps?
You go full.
Yeah, it's like when, you know, when I do the Leno, I got a head bob. Could that make the, it makes me feel like I'm him for a second.
Sure.
And in Johnny Depp, he's very, even though that's only really his pirate character.
So now when you do a Bill Cosby impression, do you have to mime, like, dropping the roofie into the drink?
We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. I'm Danny Glover. Boy, it's been a while. Speaking of been a while, Bill Cosby's been out of the news for a while, but he's back in the news. That's right. Not because of the whole rape thing, but because of his new topical cream, Bill Cosby's Anal Ointment. That's right. Just new on the market. It's at Walgreens, only at Walgreens, for $2.99, next to the peanut butter. Why? Because you can also get some peanut butter and ain't something. A lot of people sometimes are asking, hey, Danny, my ass hurts, but I'm also hungry for a sandwich. And I go, well, go to aisle 10 at Walgreens, because you can get some peanut butter and some Danny Glover anal ointment for $2.99. The peanut butter? No, the anal ointment.
Thank you. Back to the About Last Night podcast. Yeah. No guests today. We haven't done a just you and me show for a while.
No, this is our first one we're taping in 2015, because we've been backlogged. We've had a lot of we tried to get a handful of episodes done before the 2015 year began, so that we could, in case, you know, we're both out of town a lot in the holidays. Right. And happy holidays, by the way. Happy New Year.
Oh, yeah. Happy Feliz Año Nuevo for our Spanish-speaking listeners.
Did you just put a curse on me? What the fuck was that?
Yes.
Feliz Año who? On a cornucova? What did you say?
Yes. If all goes to plan, she will dump Enrique Iglesias. And,
What if all you had to do was say, Ana cornucova?
Oh, she's like...
She would appear.
She's like the Sandman? Like fucking Beetlejuice?
Wait, fuck. Yeah, Beetlejuice. Who's the Sandman?
Oh, I don't know.
Who were you? Even the Boogeyman I would have taken over the Sandman.
Yeah.
Who was afraid of the Sandman?
Isn't there, like, okay, I know he's the Sandman. He's the guy that comes out at the Apollo Theater if you haven't done a good set, and he takes you off with the hook, right?
That's the Sandman?
Yeah, that's the Sandman. Listen, man, you don't know black culture.
Wow.
You doing fucking Danny Glover impressions?
Fullerton, what's happening down there in the early 90s?
Listen, man, I break into black voice every now and then because
it's a pretty good black voice.
It's all right.
You know, I was in Vegas over New Year's. And I was doing my, you know, bottomless breadsticks and my Olive Garden joke.
Yeah.
And a black guy goes, say it again. He goes, do that some more. But not in a, like, challenging way. He was, like, laughing.
Okay.
And then he goes, keep doing it, man. I go, all right, I can't tell if this is a black guy or a Mexican guy who sounds like a black guy. I go, I need to know the real truth here.
Well,
because this could go south. And then
they
kept shouting out suggestions. He's like, he goes, do it again. He goes, talk about the breadsticks. So I do it again. And then he goes, now turn your hat around. I go, what the fuck? I go, are you jerking off back there? You got some weird hat fetish? And then I start imitating him. I go, now rub your shoelaces together till I come. You know, and I just started, like, doing him. And then I went off on a rant as him in the black guy voice. And then people were, you know, laughing. And then I go, is that enough, dude? I go, you suckered me into doing the black guy voice some more, but now I'm a little bit uncomfortable.
That's crazy that we're in this sort of TiVo DVR generation where people are in complete control of their entertainment to the point where now...
What a great way to look at it.
This guy goes to a stand-up comedy show, sees a comedian do something he likes, and just where if something happens to where he pauses a live TV show and says, oh my God, that just, like, I want to see that again.
Yeah.
He's so it's like, hey... Do that shit one more time.
Yeah.
And it's like,
and of course,
And then, of course, you
have two choices. You can go, shut up, man.
Right.
But at that point, the audience was having a great time. They were on my side. And also, that's, you know, me. That's not my style to, like, be abrasive. Unless I've given you multiple chances. And then I will kick you out, call you a cunt, and then buy drinks for the entire Sacramento punchline. Which I did last May.
At the Sacramento punchline.
Yeah, and it is still talked about.
Well,
it should be. It was a fucking $500 tab.
It's so funny that he just thought, like, well, it's Vegas. I've lost some money.
Yeah.
So fuck it.
Of course.
I want to be in control of my comedy
That's
show.
That's got
to
be in it.
That reminds me of the Simpsons episode where Homer listens to the guys that do the Taking Care of Business song.
Yeah.
And they start to play some other song. They're like, no, just do Taking Care of Business. No, now fast forward to the part where you say working overtime, work out.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
And then just do that over and over again.
Yeah. I played craps for the first time while I was in Vegas.
Oh no! Shit!
First of all, I'm not a big gambler, you know.
Right? Yeah, I've been to Vegas with you, and you're not. And you're not a big gambler.
A little blackjack because you can have fun with a little bit of money.
Sure.
But the craps thing, dude. The energy. Have you played before?
I've never played craps. The only time,
dude, you would be a fucking people would circulate around that table.
Well,
because
shit!
It's the energy is so collective, and strangers cheering for you because they're relying on you with that dice roll.
Yeah, and could you imagine if? You see a dwarf at the side of a craps table and someone goes on a hot roll and I'm like,
immediately
hey.
They're cashing their chips and going to that table.
Yeah, and I'm like, I gotta go get a drink. No, you're not going anywhere, motherfucker.
Yeah,
like,
and you
stay
up,
here.
Yeah, and you bring up a great point because that I feel like is where superstitions began because like you see like everyone's got the thing like where they blow on the dice or they do a chant or whatever. And so I didn't realize how powerful that was until I'm about to roll. And I went on a little streak. And the first roll I did one, and there was a guy to the left of me that was trying to do some sort of – he was trying to say something to me. And he was like, hey, and then he just kind of shut his mouth and then did like a weird drunk bow. But he did it right before I rolled.
Yeah.
And then I roll, and I get fucking no seven. Everyone cheers.
Right.
I turn to him. I go, dude, you got to do that fucking bow again. I go, I don't know what that was. And he's getting progressively drunk as the night goes on. So then it was like he would try to like emulate it. And so he'd do like a curtsy or like he'd do a little weird like thriller dance. And then I found myself going, dude, you need to fucking suck it up and figure out that drunk bow you did earlier.
Right. Do that roll.
A lot of people are depending on you.
Stop trying to add to that dance.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Do
it's
the
perfect.
Original bow.
Yeah.
Because because, you know, you're like, there's so much just because of the, but it really, you have no control over that. It's, it's the same thing that people think they're good at bingo. You know, like, I'm good at blackout. That's my, I'm good. It's like, no, you just, it's a random thing.
Sure.
Your numbers got called.
Right. The only experience I've had with craps is I was in Vegas one time with my buddy. And he wanted to go play craps. I've never played before. Still don't understand it. I just know people roll, and every now and then they cheer. And then he says, "Well, just give me money, and then I'll bet for you." Like, and I know what to do. I'm like, dude, I don't trust that. I'm just gonna go play blackjack, whatever.
Yep.
So all of a sudden, I'm hearing cheers come from the craps table.
The show was on in the background?
Yes, cheers.
I hear the sweet timbre of Ted Danson and Woody Harrelson Ted exchanging Danson. Witty banter.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, wow, Norm, all right. So I hear cheers coming from the craps table, and I walk over. My buddy went on a $1,500 roll, and I'm sitting there going, wow, I would have made $1,500.
Oh, God, I know, dude. Yeah, but that's, I mean, come on, dude. Hindsight is 2020. Isn't that
what they say? Sure, sure. Yeah. And there's so many stories like that. There's guys that go up big, lose it all.
You have to bet big to win big.
Yeah.
Even with this, you know, Hyundai job, which, by the way, I don't think I've even announced that yet.
I don't think you have.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? If you're listening to the radio, TV, or internet, and you see a Hyundai commercial,
guess whose sweet pipes those are?
Now get an all-new Hyundai Sonata for 0.9% APR financing plus $1,500 holiday bonus cash.
Holy shit. Wow. I don't know why, but I really want a Sonata right now.
Yeah, fuck yeah, you do.
That worked.
I lucked out, man. Several years of voiceover auditioning, and now Paul Rudd and I are the new voice of Hyundai, man.
Paul Rudd and you. How many people?
How many times have I said that sentence? Yeah. There's a few sentences in my life I thought I would ever say. Paul Rudd and I are the voice of Hyundai. And also, when I first got a job at Universal, and I would tell my mom, she's like, "How was work today?" I was like, "Well, me, Storm, Captain America, and Spider-Man all went to Subway together."
And you're like, "Well, that's a sentence I've dreamed of
for sure,
many times."
Yeah.
But back to you being in Vegas. How long were you there for?
A week. And that's
a long time to be in.
The shows were awesome because it's a busy time of year, and the Laugh Factory could not be a better run club by Harry Basil, who's an amazing comic and a wonderful human being, and also the man who wrote the movie Ladybugs, starring Rodney Dangerfield and Jonathan Brandis.
Harry Basil?
Oh, he's coming on the pod in the next couple weeks.
You damn right.
He's an incredible impressionist.
And it's going to be an all Ladybugs edition.
Yeah, the first ever podcast dedicated to Ladybugs.
I think it's long overdue.
If we could pull up a clip later. That's why we need a producer on hand, because I would love, because he would already be playing
clips of Rodney.
Come on, put on the wig. Come on, you know how bad I need this fucking Barney Rubble impression of Rodney. I guess that's kind of what
he's kind of like that.
But Harry runs a great room, and the shows were great. On New Year's we did karaoke in the green room. Eric Griffin from Workaholics, former ABLN podcast guest, Quick Fat.
Yeah, the podcast where Quick Fat was born.
Yeah. He was there and did guest sets, and we did karaoke. And by the way, Eric Griffin, I almost want to have him on just to do an all karaoke thing, because him and I did a version. Actually, I'm going to play the soundbite. We did Endless Love. And then Eric, he's, you know, him and I do a lot of woo, 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 like a lot of 80s.
And here's the thing I love is that I saw the videos on your Instagram of you doing karaoke.
Yeah.
And most people, when they do karaoke, they're in like a room full of people, and they're trying to play to the crowd. The last like four times you've done karaoke, you tell me stories that's like, oh, it's me, Brent Moore, and Dane Cook.
Oh yeah,
in a booth.
Yeah,
it's me, Eric Griffin, and Harry Basil, or their comics, just by ourselves.
Yeah,
like and even us.
Next is going to be me, Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
Well, shit,
Jody Sweetin. Reginald Bell Johnson.
Are you like entering my dreams?
Corey
in the 90s?
Savage.
Corey Savage. Was Corey Savage one of the Savages?
Ben Savage.
Yeah, it was Ben Savage. Corey Feldman.
Yeah, but Corey was his name on Boy Meets World.
Oh, that's right.
But Ben Savage is his real name.
So Jaleel White would be Steve White?
Daddy, what happens when somebody screws up the character of the guy on Boy Meets World with his real name in real life?
Ryder Strong does another bump of coke. I'm glad I got you to almost die there.
Oh, God. All right, so. That's me. And then listen how Eric closes it out.
At our gay marriage.
He goes, "At our gay marriage," and then this is Eric.
Yeah, dude.
That's me. Here's Eric.
Wow.
I mean,
I know you've asked this question to Eric many times, but whose woo woo was better?
Welcome back to Whose Woo Woo Was Better with your host,
Wink Martindale.
Wink Martindale. Welcome back, buddy.
Drink one for our first Wink Martindale reference of 2015.
Yeah. Who's woo? Yeah. But we got to have him on because he's just, but he sang a Ray Charles, George on My Mind.
Really?
Brad, I kid you not. I shit you not.
Yeah.
I kid shit you not.
I think that gets you put on Megan'sLaw.com, Adam. I'm pretty sure you can't kid shit someone.
It was uncanny, dude.
Really?
Georgia.
Yeah.
Like, everyone can do
the song.
I mean, yeah. Anyone's impression is Jamie Foxx's impression. Dude, Eric Griffin sounded like Ray Lewis. Ray Charles.
He sounded like Ray Lewis. Holy shit. So he's up there doing the dance with pyro going off behind him.
He was doing Ray Lewis doing Ray Charles, and it was doing Ray from the Ghostbusters. And it was unbelievable.
I'm trying to think.
Yeah, what other Rays?
I'm trying to, yeah, what other Rays?
What are the first name Rays?
You got Ray Romano. Oh, I forgot about that. How'd you forget about me?
How'd you forget about me? You know who always forgets about me is my wife, Deborah.
My mom.
Oh, my mom's all around.
You ever been married? Yeah.
Now, would you go to a club? Now they have dueling piano bars.
Oh, my God.
Would you go to a club?
Dueling Romanos?
Dueling Romanos. Would you go there? Then you just walk in there. You're getting your fish and chips or whatever the fuck you eat at Dueling Romanos.
Yeah.
And then you got two guys on stage. You
got the fish and chips. Why do you eat it here? It's so good in London.
Ketchup.
You got tartar sauce. What is tartar sauce?
Like,
I know what ketchup is.
My mom's always calling it tomato, but
tartar sauce. There's no tartar
salad. I would like that.
I
have enough peanuts on the plane.
I don't think there's enough sauce.
Every time I get on the plane, it's always like, hey, you can't put your bag there.
Oh, God, I turned into Yoda Grover towards the end.
Yoda Grover? Oh, my God, that sounds like a great flavor of push-up. What flavor did you get? I got Yoda Grover. Wow.
Delicious it is.
Dueling
Yodas and Dueling Romanos or Dueling Grovers. Which would you take in a battle of the bands or a Mortal Kombat?
Well, but see.
Well, Grover is more.
Yeah.
Grover and Yoda. Well, if you know this about your Sesame Street voices.
And who doesn't?
Frank Oz.
Right.
Did Grover.
Right.
Frank Oz did Yoda. Frank Oz did Miss Piggy, Fozzie the Bear.
Incredible. Between those three,
yeah,
Dueling Romanos, Dueling Grovers, and Dueling Yodas.
Yoda Grover.
I would have to go to Dueling Grovers, and I will give you my logic behind this.
Please.
Because I've thought it out. Dueling Yodas. Yoda's hard enough to understand just one of them because he's doing the backwards talk.
Yeah.
Help you, I will. Get drunk, you must. You know,
I always wish there was one guy in the like Star Wars movie that would just be like, dude, can you fucking just say it normally? Do we have to? Yeah, we're in a time of crisis. We don't have time to fucking decode sentences.
Right.
Man.
It's like, you've been. The
Millennium Falcon is out of fucking spirit juice or whatever. Fucking, I don't.
You're 900 years old. You're a master Jedi. You can do flips.
Yeah.
And you're 2.5 feet tall and you could beat up anyone with a lightsaber. You're the wisest person on the planet and you can't fucking speak a language.
Yeah, yeah. Grammar is his fucking kryptonite.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I would not go to Dueling Yodas.
Okay.
And then Dueling Romanos would just be kind of like what we did, where it's two guys just complaining all the time about the minutiae of life.
Yeah, which that would be a lot of fun. That's actually a great like one act play. Just two Ray Romanos. Oh my God.
Oh, and then but see, Dueling Grovers is you would learn stuff.
Yeah.
Because Grover was always like telling you
around.
Yes.
Over, under, and through.
Yeah. You would learn how to tie your shoes again.
Yeah.
You know?
You just got so excited about thinking back to learning how to tie your shoes for the first time.
Well, okay.
Isn't that sad, by the way? I won't see you as excited as I just did about tying your shoes the time when you learned about anything in a long time.
But
that's just, you know.
Well, because here's the deal. And
you grow up.
And I've experienced this before. There are certain sounds that when you hear them, you go right back to your childhood.
Yeah, dude.
And you're right back in that moment. We kind of mentioned it briefly earlier, but back when we were doing the podcast at the
John Lovitz Comedy Club.
John Lovitz Comedy Club.
At my podcast theater.
My podcast theater. Try the nachos. They're $22.
How is Spencer? Is he still Jewish?
So the podcast that was on before us, because we all had to share the same studio, the podcast that was on before us had Ron Paulson as a guest.
Oh, yeah.
And then we've tried to get him so many times. And Ron Paulson, you may not know the name, but you absolutely know the voice.
Yep.
He did Yakko on Animaniacs, and he did Raphael on the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Huge.
And so he's done all these voices, and I don't know what he looks like, and I'm just walking by, but
hear
him.
You've probably been in line behind him at Quiznos and had no idea.
Right, but I hear him speak because he's talking to one of the previous podcast guys just kind of in casual conversation, and I just stop, and I kind of look at him, and I just go, wait, I know your voice. What do you – you do something with your voice.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what he did, and he just went with it. I'm sure he's heard that a million times. He didn't care. He started talking like Yakko. And when he starts doing that, I'm like, oh, God. And then I go right back to rushing home from school and watching fucking Animaniacs.
That's incredible, dude. That was your show too growing up, wasn't it?
Yeah. I loved Animaniacs. I loved that whole WB. Loved Animaniacs. Loved Freakazoid. Remember Freakazoid?
Yeah, dude.
Freak out! Yeah, and he would change.
Oh, no. My roommate Dave is sleeping.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we're podcasting at 10:20 at night on a Thursday night. It's okay.
Sorry.
I told him before, I go, I'll try to keep it down. What I should have mentioned is, but if Freakazoid gets brought up, I can't promise anything. Brad might take it up a notch or two.
Well, yeah, because it's fucking Freakazoid.
You did get very hot. Your arms went up in the air, which always gets me excited.
You know what? That's what happens. I throw my arms up in the air. People get happy.
You've been on and a lot of people were happy today. Brad and I were at Comedy Central all day shooting Vine videos for Comedy Central.
We were.
And some of the funniest shit that we've done today happened. And you're going to see it on Comedy Central's Vine, I think, in the next couple of weeks. But, yeah. I mean, just real quickly, some of the things. I mean, we did something where I was on the phone, and it was basically, I was, Vine, 6 seconds to get in, which, hey, neither one of us have really done Vine a lot, and it's a challenge. We both come from the sketch world and the stand-up world of longer bits.
Right. So you have time to develop and have backstory. And
did you enjoy it?
It was so much fun.
It was fun.
It's always fun to test a new muscle in this business.
There's no real beginning, middle, or end. There can be, but it's also kind of like it's moments. It's just like get a laugh in 6 seconds.
Yeah.
And if you can get multiple is really a challenge. But one of the things was I'd be on a mid-argument on the phone and basically would set up a bunch of different videos where I'd say, yeah, whatever, dude. I'll believe it when I see fill in the blank, insert. And a lot of them it was always dwarf related. It was, I believe it when I see a dwarf in a tree. And then I immediately stop and we cut to Brad in a tree. And he goes,
hi there.
Which is, I mean, there was the voice you did was brilliant. B, it's just a hilarious quick 6 second thing. And to see you all sitting in a tree. And also, the tree, God bless that tree, looked like the type of tree, if you were to live in a tree, Brad Williams, that you would live in.
You know what? I should be offended by that statement. But I'm not. Because if you saw this thing, you'll be like, oh yeah, if I cut that tree in half, there would totally be a family of dwarves inside that.
Oh my God.
Cut it in half.
See, I was looking at it more as aesthetically, it was set up for rooms, like Swiss Family Robinson style, where it would just be a dope tree house. I guess that's what I think dwarves' homes are dope tree houses.
Is that a
racist?
Show?
Dope tree houses?
Dope tree house?
You host it, dude.
Oh,
and you
God.
Go around dope helping kids house? Build tree houses.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I would watch that show.
Dope tree houses.
Dope tree house? And I'm just coming in
and tree house in any show title is going to get 40% of children across America. To tune in.
So basically,
Treetop Treehouse. I was on a lot of peyote when I was 11.
No shit.
Treetop Treehouse.
Apparently just a lot of apple juice.
It was a show where giant Jewish men sat up in a treehouse and drank treetop apple juice.
I'd watch it.
And they argued about it.
Say,
there's too much sugar in this.
This tastes like a Red Delicious. I don't know.
I don't know. I can never get. Can you help me with the straw? I can never figure out how to. I don't want to poke it, but I feel bad if I hurt it. Then I have to get a new straw. Sometimes I squirt the juice on me. This is a new sweater. Hey.
Dope treehouse. So basically, I would be like the exhibit of tree houses.
Sweet Jesus.
So like this.
Yo,
kid.
What's up, Chad? We took your fucking shitty oak fucking maple hymen. Or wait, that's not a type of tree.
Hymen. You thought a hymen was a type of wood?
Yo, baby, can I go down on your mahogany? Oh, that's a type of wood. I'm getting fucking vagina muscles and trees mixed up.
Can I go down? You said the sentence, can I go down on your mahogany?
I know, man. I'm on antibiotics.
That happened.
But all right, so you set it up. So
I'd be exhibit. So I'd like walk in and be like, yo, we took your old ass treehouse when you had a little hole for your super soaker to point out of to throw at enemies, right? That's what you got? Well, now look at your treehouse. We got a bona fide fireman's water cannon on this motherfucker.
Oh,
this thing will blow a 4-year-old 29 feet in the air.
Oh, my God.
Let's try it out.
Yeah.
you watch it, dude.
You used to have a shitty rope ladder, but now you got a slip and slide running from the top of the tree to the bottom of the tree.
Oh.
And by the way, you have to talk in a stereotypical black voice.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, what is he? And then you're like, I'm paying homage to exhibit.
Yeah. I'm not making fun of black people.
Not racially charged.
No, this is just my horrible
take it down a notch, America. Yeah,
exactly.
All right. Well, that's again. Add that to the list of. At some point, we're gonna have to go through and listen to old episodes and make a list of the shows and the game shows we've come up with,
the ideas, all that. And thank you for telling people to lay off with the racial stuff, because Lord knows I've gotten enough trouble recently.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's right, dude.
Yeah.
All right, so your new year started off with a bang.
Yeah, no shit. So I'll set up this story. And all right, here's what happened. Every year, the Hollywood Improv does a show for the two college football teams that are playing in the Rose Bowl. And the last 2 years, I've done the show. So,
awesome.
So I get to
come out. That's an honor,
dude. Yeah. Oh, it's so much
to
fun.
To perform for athletes is so dope, especially when you're
college
when you know
athletes.
Them and you're a big fan of the sport.
Yeah, and you look out in the audience, you're like, wow, that guy's going to be a millionaire in 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, it's so cool. So you do the separate teams on separate nights. I knew that I was going to have to do these jokes, and I was really busy, didn't have time to prepare. So I call up our friend Jennifer Sturger,
yep.
Who you may remember from a certain Brett Favre controversy.
What was that?
Brett Favre sent her a picture of his dick.
What?
was this in the news?
Was this on national news everywhere for a long time?
Yes, it was. And
that guy, in Brett's defense,
I mean,
he sent a lot of people that picture. Okay, I just chose not to come out about it.
Oh, you got it too? I thought I was the only guy.
No. He sent it to women,
what?
Men.
Really?
The woman who used to run the PTA in my elementary school.
Son of a bitch.
Debbie Olson. She got a dick
Debbie
pic.
Olson got...
Yeah, she got a Favre dick pic.
I mean, they say never meet your heroes. I will update that statement.
Never meet your heroes.
Never get a dick pic from your heroes.
That would be awful, by the way. Like, who is your hero, by the way?
John Elway.
Okay. What if... Now, this I really am curious to know the answer, because you love the Broncos so much.
I do.
And you love memorabilia.
There's
a part of me that thinks that Brad Williams, diehard Broncos fan, appreciator and lover of the man and legend John Elway.
That's right.
That you would get that and go, oh. And then a minute later go, I got to get this framed. And I got to put it in the man cave alongside my other.
Well, the last thing I want to do, or maybe I do want to do, is put John Elway's dick in the man cave. But I mean,
another sentence that was a first time that's been uttered.
I mean, it's been uttered 1,000 times in my head, but you know, whatever. You know what? The sad part is you're exactly right. that I would absolutely do that.
You would?
Yeah. If John Elway sent me a dick pic, I would absolutely.
You know
frame
what? This
it.
Is a question I would love to ask Pauly Shore.
Pauly Shore.
What's up, bros?
Pauly, it's good to see you.
I know, right?
You're first of all, your documentary is still doing great.
Dude, I know. Thank you.
On Showtime. Thanks for doing the podcast a couple weeks ago.
Yeah I mean,
sweet God,
dude, I know it's like a whole thing. You got to promote these things, right? You got to what? Put your ear to the ground and find out where the people are. What?
What?
Did you
exactly?
did you get that from a mushroom trip, Pauly?
Dude, I only did mushrooms one time, and it was like a whole thing.
Okay. Pauly, we're just addressing real
but
quick,
yeah,
and I know you don't have much time, but we were talking about if John Elway, who's Brad's hero, sent him a dick pic, would he put it up in a frame and put it on the wall,
or would
he go, oh, this is disgusting, and I need to call the authorities? Who's your hero, Pauly?
Sam Kinison.
Okay. So
you remember him?
It was, I mean.
Did that guy.
You okay?
No, I feel like you're just
a fucking Heimlich maneuver right now? Or?
Was that Kinison or the seagull from Little Mermaid?
Right.
Okay. So if Kinison sent you a dick pic, you would just probably laugh it off.
Well, dude, I would be freaked out because he's dead. I would be like, holy shit, he's trying to summon me from another world.
Okay. All right, Paul.
I'm pretty sure that was a rejected Goosebumps title back in the 90s. So Dicks from the Dead.
Dude, what if Pauly Shore sent you a dick pic?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure you've sent a lot of dick pics out, Pauly.
Right.
Yeah, and
fist bump.
Okay.
Still doesn't in character.
I will fist bump that.
That is the voice of Sandy Danto.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys.
Yeah. Sandy popped in to pick up a hard drive. Sandy was in Vegas with me, which Brad and I already discussed.
Yeah, it was pretty rad.
Yeah, a long time to be there.
Oh, a very long time.
Right?
So you survived, but like on day four in Vegas, are you like, get me the fuck out of here?
Usually, yes.
Okay.
But, you know, there was this trip had a lot of different ins and outs.
Mm-hmm.
Adam got an Xbox that we played, which made it feel a little bit more at home.
Yeah. And also the good company, like, that helped.
Yeah. My fiance came for a couple days, like, in the middle of the trip, broke it up.
You broke up with your fiance?
No.
Oh, okay.
Broke up.
Flew her out, broke up on New Year's.
Oh, Jesus.
I proposed, then I broke up.
Oh, God.
I proposed a breakup.
It was a really long-winded prank for a new web series I'm doing
called
Fuck You Bitches. Tell me your dreams and I'll break
so
them.
I got so scared for you for a second.
That's a tagline.
I got
what
so
happens when a girl thinks she's getting married and then oops-a-daisy isn't?
Oops-a-daisy, I got in good with your parents and they like me better.
Oh, so man. So that would be the tagline of like of your prank show? Oops-a-daisy?
I've been trying to get oopsie-daisy to be a catchphrase on TGIF for years.
It's a great
Why wasn't that Cody on Step by Step's catchphrase? It was always like, oh, come on, Frank. You know, Frank Lambert, remember? Well, how come, because Cody was always fucking up.
Yeah.
Or even Urkel. Did I do that is a more specific oops-a-daisy.
It's an urban oops-a-daisy. Yeah.
By the way, urban oops-a-daisy. It sounds like a really dirty
sex move.
It's
gonna be the name of my debut porn CD.
Oh my God! Last
it's
night,
it's just porn audio.
Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to see the man you came to see tonight? If you love John Legend, make some noise real quick. If you loved Mario Cantone doing stand up, make some noise.
Woo!
If you love Rachel Ray showing you how to make a great lasagna in under 30 minutes, make some noise tonight. That's about the right response. But tonight, if you are ready for the headliner, the main man, the man who's been dropping beats since 1996, and the man who is going to make you get sweaty in your drawers, make it loud, make it sexy, for the one, the only, Urban Oops-a-Daisy.
Like that little boom, bell boom, goes up.
Did I do that?
Urban Oops-a-Daisy.
That's how you open your set.
Yeah. And then, oh, shit. Oh. People dude, like standing dressed, up, running around.
But it's you in suspenders.
Yeah.
And there's a big fucking cast photo of Family Matters behind you on a jumbotron.
As as gotta, it should be.
I wonder if I should call Jaleel right now and be like, "Hey, dude.
Hey, we have an idea."
Oh God,
Urban Oopsie Daisy.
Wait a minute. All
you
right,
can call him.
I'm gonna call him.
We'll try to.
Why the fuck not, dude? Oh
my God. I mean, yeah, we'll get back. We'll get back to the Oregon FSU story later. But right now, when you have an opportunity to call the great Jaleel White,
all right,
you call him. Let's see if he
answers.
If we
didn't call him, it would be a fumble, just like Jameis Winston's.
Way to tie it all in, sir. Well done. You're a damn professional. All right.
I do stuff sometimes.
Come on, Jaleel.
Come on, Jaleel, pick up.
We don't have to cut this out. Answer, motherfucker.
So who's gonna present this potentially super
your
racist moment?
Wait, what's his voicemail like?
Three.
Oh, it's turned off.
Automated. I was hoping it was gonna be.
Did I do that? Nah, so leave a message.
Did I pick up?
Nah.
So leave a message, and then you hear in the background, Steve, go home.
Go home.
Sandy, Vegas was a blast, and
it was so fun. When my fiance showed up, I was like trying to have some bro time here. And then when she left, I was like, oh, fuck, I wish she was.
Of course. Well, because she's the best.
Yeah, she's great.
He lucked out. I was telling Sandy, too, when we were out there, it's like, man, you get protective of your buddies and the girls that they pick.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you're
going to like them regardless because you have to
spend time with them.
Yeah, so.
Well, and if you don't, then that's.
Then you lose a friend.
Right.
So that's why we're so selecting that, and that's why like the screening process is like, all right, we gotta make sure this chick's cool, man.
Right, yeah. Totally. And I told her that. All right, so last year for New Year's, it was her and me and a bunch of my growing up closest friends.
Right,
and we went to Tahoe and rented a house. And I was like, if they didn't like you. It was gonna have to be over.
Yeah,
but luckily they approved.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because these are the guys that know you the best.
Yeah.
And I think guys are fair too. They're not like they want to like that. We want.
Yeah.
We want to like our friends' women.
Sure.
We don't. Yeah. You know, because they've obviously already been spending time.
That and they have friends that they could help. You
right.
Know,
sure.
You know, like there's a lot of things. I mean. For ulterior and not ulterior motives.
But in a good word. But and here's what I've always noticed is whenever I would bring a girlfriend around comics, whenever I would like bring them backstage or in the green room with comics, that's when I would be the most nervous.
Oh, of course.
Because I'm like, oh, okay, this isn't renting a house in Tahoe and everyone's playing Boggle and having like a normal New Year's, right? That's what you guys do at New Year's?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we were like doing drugs and eating crap.
Oh, okay. Well, that's awesome. But yeah, like just having your girl around comics is like the most nerve-wracking thing because you're like, okay, don't like unless you are really funny, like don't try – you know, like, don't try to be funny, and you're just
right.
and you're just nervous if like the comic's gonna say something that's kind of mm-hmm. roasty or mm-hmm. like kind of like let's break her balls
or
a little bit.
You don't know what her threshold is.
With
offensive, and when comics are just hanging out amongst each other,
right?
It can be a one up on who's like the raunchiest.
Absolutely.
Or you don't know who to give. Like you want to have a conversation with your friends,
mm-hmm.
and you're not always giving your girlfriend the. Undivided attention that they're used to, and
right.
that could always be an issue.
Yeah, they're like, hey,
she's cool about it. She gets it.
You paid attention way more to the opening act than you did.
Yeah.
You did me. Listen, why did you talk to Dean Del Rey for 45 minutes when I was sitting here?
Come on, babe, he's a rocker.
That's a type of rocker I can get behind. Not a rock climber, but I still respect it. Hashtag. Real deal climbing action.
A rocker that recognizes another rocker. Now that's a rocker blocker.
And did you say hashtag synonyms?
Hashtag synonyms.
Shout out to Dean Del Rey. Check out his podcast.
Yeah,
Let There Be Talk.
Exactly.
No, Let There Be Rock. Let There Be Talk.
Let There Be Talk.
Yeah, yeah.
There's only one Dean Del Rey.
There's only one Dean Del Rey.
Just
check out his podcast.
Yeah, type that into Google.
Sandy, I want to ask you... not to, when you get married, turn into the married wingman, okay? And I think you know what I mean by that. Some of my married friends have been out of the game so long that they think that they need to feel a taste of it by trying to fucking help me out. What I mean is the guy who tries, He's using it for his own purposes. He's like, he's been out of the game. It's like a guy who used to play high school football and then would go to like a Patriots game and run onto the field and go, "Hey, Brady, I got a few ideas for a few plays. Everybody go deep, you know?"
Yeah, yeah.
And I had a buddy back home who, like, you know, we'd be hanging out at a bar and he'd like, you know, see, he just wanted to taste the action again. So I'd walk up to a girl and he'd sucked me into some bullshit scenario that he had made up just to try to impress her because he thought that was going to help me.
"Hey, this is my friend Adam, the world famous magician I was telling you about."
"Tell her about that time you made the panda bear disappear from the zoo." And you're like, and so then you just have to commit. So you're like, "Yeah, it was crazy. I just went oogity boogity biffity boobity, you know, and he just disappeared." And she's like, that's what you said?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he's like, "And tell him about the time we were in camping and you beat up those bears." And you're like, "Yeah, I mean, they were coming at me." And I was like, "You guys aren't getting this, honey, you know?"
"Oh, well, I'm a member of PETA, so bye."
Yeah, yeah, for sure. You have to. So, you know, the guy, and then you know, he's like, "And tell him the catchphrase you said when you beat the bears up." You know, I was like, "Not tonight, Yogi." And then, you know, and then he'll pull you aside and go, "Hey, dude, what the fuck? I set you up for, you know, I'm going to take you guys down with these bare hands, you know?" You know, and then he gets mad at you, and you're like, "Dude, that's the story didn't even happen."
They get so mad at you. They get so mad at you, like, "Oh, you totally blew that." And then
I blew the story that didn't happen.
Listen, all you got to do is go back there,
right?
Insult her once, but then buy her a drink,
yeah,
and you're good.
And then they'll do that thing like, "If I was still single, yeah, I would be crushing that." You're like, "Shut up."
It's also the pickup lines is also, yeah, and then they suggest shitty pickup lines. Sandy and I came up in the airport on the way back an idea for a funny award show. Welcome back to the 25th annual pickup line awards. So it's like you get the words like, Dave Stevenson for best pickup line while in line at a Coffee Bean before his flight.
"I'll have a little extra sugar, and I'm not talking about in my coffee." "Hi, I'm Dave."
Jim Schubert for the best line while in the toilet. Discovery Zone. But it's a unisex toilet, so there's women in there too.
Right.
A lot of kids out there. You want to make one?
And the winner is Jim Schubert.
Oh, hey. I didn't have anything prepared for this, but it's a tremendous honor. And, you know, these things just come to me.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So I like to come on them. All right, good night, everybody.
The annual Pickup Lines Awards. You know, at this point, there's so many fucking award shows that wouldn't even shock me.
Yeah.
Like we're getting, like, you know, there's the Spike TV Guy's Choice Award.
Yeah.
There's a web. There's like several web awards.
The Webbies. Mm-hmm. There's stand up comedy awards, which is
the Women Who Love to Wear Robes While on Vacation Awards.
The Guy Who Chews M&Ms into the Microphone on Podcast Awards. I would win that.
You're doing a bang up job.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. Well, hey, that's Adam's fault for putting out a bowl of fucking M&Ms. Green M&Ms, very festive.
They're mint flavored.
Yeah, they're mint flavored.
They're mint flavored.
M&M. At what point are they going to come? Like, it's every year they're going to have to. I mean, not every year, but it's like standard M&M is so great. But every 5 years they come out with a new flavor. But it's like you don't have to. Like,
no.
Fast food restaurants have to do that because there's so much competition. M&M's, it's just you guys. Like, when Taco Bell is like introducing the new burrito taco, and we're like, "Oh shit!" Even though 5 months prior it was like introducing the new taco burrito, and we're like, switched it around. But we're so stupid, we're like, "The taco burrito? I haven't heard of something so tasty since the burrito taco."
It's like, I gotta try.
Yeah, you dummy.
Try that shit.
But with M&M's, it's like, just be an M&M.
Yeah,
yeah.
What person took a bite out of an M&M and went, "Not enough, man.
Too plain.
Too plain."
Hold on. Have you ever had an M&M that didn't have the M's on it and you realize you're not eating genuine M&M's?
That was probably a sweet tart.
What? Like?
That's my pickup line.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
If you were a candy, you'd be a sweet tart.
Do you mind if I butterfinger you? Oh, Jesus.
Can you please deliver that pickup line as Dean Del Rey?
If you were a candy, you'd be a sweet tart. Hi, I'm Dean.
Nice. Again, Let There Be Talk is this podcast. Check it out.
Oh, God.
Every impression comes with a podcast plug.
Exactly.
Dude, you got to check out my podcast.
It's Paulie, we already plugged it.
I don't have a name for it yet, but...
No, you do. It's...
Dude, I'm doing
it's
a new...
Paulie Shore's interested.
I know, but that's my old podcast. I did a spinoff.
You're doing a spinoff of the podcast you've been doing for a month and a half?
Yeah, dude, it's over because I got with a podcast network and they want to do a whole thing with me.
Okay.
Podcast One. Have you ever heard of it?
No.
Dude, it's my podcast network. They have like a Corolla. Have you ever heard of that fucking guy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We know him really well. Yeah,
exactly.
Is this for real?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Sandy co-hosted.
Sandy Danto, is this
day.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good. Okay.
I co-hosted with him the other day.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So you did do it.
Yeah, but for some reason, he's breaking the format that he had before that was working.
Okay.
Of interested.
Yeah.
And it's just like a straight interview show. He calls people up from his life and annoys them. And,
wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, listen to Paulie Shore's podcast.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have a name yet.
No, yeah, but
Paulie Shore's
he'll figure
podcast.
It out. But hey, man, we had him on the show and he was great and he's been very generous to be on a lot of podcasts.
To everybody.
Yeah, it's really to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, if it wasn't for him, the store wouldn't be there.
Yes, 1,000%. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, we need to wrap this up and you can stay here or not, but.
The listeners or me?
I got to get back to my damn. Fucking Oregon story. People,
oh yeah.
People still don't know about.
Oh, God, finish it. Sorry.
I was like, you know,
that's the biggest tangent ever. Are you gonna leave?
No.
Yeah, hang for the rest. Yeah, we got about 15-20 minutes left.
So
I hear the.
Yeah. So here's
second half of a story. I didn't hear the first half.
No, I'll quickly recap for you.
Worst choose your own adventure book ever.
Yeah. You know, the improv does those shows for the Rose Bowl teams.
Oh, God, that's really we started that 25 minutes
we
ago.
We did.
All right.
So I got to do it this year. So I got to do shows for both Oregon and Florida State, and I got together with the mentioned right before you got here, Jen Sturger, to write some jokes, and she came up with a great one that I could perform in front of Oregon and making fun of Florida State. Florida State has that chant where they go, oh, like that, like fucking Indians. And I talked about...
if there's any Redskins fans listening, the only ones behind you on that, what you just said.
Yeah. Talk about Jameis Winston. He's had a couple alleged sexual assault claims against
him.
We say that for legal reasons. And so I say, because of Jameis Winston, they should change the chant to no means no. And yeah, exactly. A good joke, right? Yeah. Great joke. Kills in the room. All players like it. Fast forward.
When I was just
okay.
quickly, when yeah, I no went problem. To a Kings game this year, yeah. and their chant is "Go Kings, go!"
Yeah.
But when I first heard it, I was like, "Why are they saying no means no?"
Well, there's some action from stories that there too. Okay, so fast forward to the Rose Bowl game. Oregon beats Florida State on the winner's podium. Several of the players start chanting. No means no. Yeah, they do. It makes SportsCenter. It makes MSNBC. It makes Fox News.
What the fuck?
Jemele Hill is tweeting about it from the ESPN, going, "This is a hateful joke and a hateful chant, and degrading against women and all that jazz." And I'm just sitting there going, like, "Holy fuck! I caused this." And then my phone.
Malcolm Gladwell would be.
My phone rings and it's a guy from TMZ, and when your phone rings and they say, "Hey, this is Michael from TMZ.com," you start going.
Do they take a pause like that because they're like, "Oh fuck," they're either going to react really well or
right. Like, and you take that moment and you go through everything you've done in the past 3 years. Like, oh God, did they find out about the chick I made out with that just happened to be a dude?
right.
Yikes.
That's totally fictional. Yeah.
We've all done that. Every single dude. Yeah, has done sure.
Hey, when in Glendale, right?
that's the name of Adam's book. When in Glendale.
Yeah.
So you got
national news attention for that.
Yeah. So then they ran the story on TMZ.com. Like, we know where the no means no chant came from.
And they put a giant picture of Brad's mug on the website.
Yeah.
Wow.
So yeah, they got me on TMZ.com. They went on my Instagram and took the photo of me and the quarterback Marcus Mariota, and they like put that like he hung out with the team before he polluted their minds.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
They thought you were responsible. Yeah, you gotta take that, though. Any sort of exposure.
I thought it was funny as hell.
Oh, man. It was just unfortunate you couldn't live every man's dream and be on a Sports Center.
Oh, that would have been the best.
Yeah, incredible.
That's like that's when I can get drinks bought for me at any time.
Yeah, totally.
Like I just walk to a bar and go, da 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 da. Oh, yeah, that show I was on? Oh, yeah, let's talk about that.
You would be the only comic ever to come up to, you've seen him on SportsCenter, Brad Williams.
I know, right?
By the way, that's definitely how I wish every time I came that played.
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, before. Okay. So you hear that and that's letting you know that you're about to?
No, I think that's what plays while, like, at the very onset of the ejaculation.
Easy with the language.
This is on PBS, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Speaking of
ejaculation, please tell me you have a follow-up.
We're going to shift gears here for a minute.
All right. Sounds good.
So a few nights, a week ago, I think. Mm-hmm. Up in, I don't know if you heard about this, Sandy, up in Renton, Washington, Seattle area, a fellow comic, buddy of mine, Dylan Avila.
Oh, I did hear
about
this.
Was running an open mic in Renton at the 907 bar, a very popular open mic. And I mean, again, just as your story was national news attention, and you got exposure from that.
Yeah.
This Dylan has basically what happened. He was running the open mic. And a kid who had showed up to the open mic a few weeks in a row and done very offensive. One time, I guess he went up and said he was Jesus Christ and delivering material. And I guess it was not funny. So he got banned from the open mic because he was just not, I guess, very nice and was not doing. If you're going to treat the stage time that a lot of people fight for when they're starting out and abuse it, then, hey, man, you're not going to get ass back.
That can happen. Yeah.
So he showed up a few nights ago with a aluminum baseball bat. And timed it out so that when Dylan walked up, and you know, the bright lights and in a small intimate room in a bar setting, if you're running the open mic as Dylan was, you're concerned with your heads all over the place.
Sure, sure, sure.
Next comic, we're figuring out who's going on next.
Right. What your material is.
What your material is.
Yeah.
And so this kid times it up. And as soon as Dylan, he said in the countless news reports that, because it's been everywhere, the UK, every website, comic blog, I mean, you know.
What an unfortunate way to make it big.
I mean, you know, it's...
pass, if given that option.
Yeah, I am still waiting for my moment, but
nobody would want this, because it was a potentially fatal... I mean, was inches away. So the guy timed it as soon as Dylan goes, your next comic, and the guy clocks him with the bat twice. Was it before people could jump on him with this aluminum bat? I guess inches away from, you know... I mean, a blow to the head with a bat.
Right.
It's,
sure.
You know, and inches away from, you know, I guess really doing some severe brain damage and potentially killing him.
Oh,
and so he gets knocked
like
out.
Like that scene at the end of Casino where they kill Joe Pesci.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so
he always makes me squirm, has
skull fractures. I mean, he goes into intensive care, they put plates in. And he is fucking, like, I went home today and was talking to him earlier. We're actually going to call him up here in a few minutes and talk to him.
Exclusive.
Yeah, but this, he's such a great dude, man. And I remember he would come see me at the parlor all the time. And when I was first started featuring there and was like, you know, any advice and whatever. And I was like, yeah, start a room, you know, get your own show going.
I got to be honest. This is all your fault.
What are we doing on this podcast? Yeah, yeah. I'm getting kids in trouble for rape jokes.
Enough.
You're getting people hit with bats. Yeah.
Well, in all fairness, you got kids in trouble for making fun of an alleged rapist.
Yes. And
which, you know, it's like making a Bill Cosby joke.
Yeah. And by the way, that's my defense for some of the hate I'm getting on Twitter. Like, you're making rape jokes. It's like, no.
No, you're not.
No, go back to the joke. The joke
People
was
just want yeah. their moment to be offended.
Yeah. And I'm like, the joke was no means no, asshole.
Yeah.
Not yes means yes.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Not like let him free Jameis Winston.
Yeah, yeah. Let him do it.
Right.
No, it wasn't that. So anyway, this is a horrible thing. And this is something that it's always like we've all had our hecklers. We've all had the guys who yells stuff out in the audience. This takes it to
never.
A whole
I've never had a heckler named Easton.
Good reference.
Well, you know, also too, it puts out
Little
there.
Shout out.
It puts out there that, like, man, it's you, we don't think about it because this shit never happens, but like we're right. so vulnerable up there, dude.
Yeah.
Like this now, I mean, you know, there's no reason why at any moment somebody couldn't come in and again tackle us or throw a bottle at us while up there, or I mean, fucking even to the extreme, you know, gunfire. I mean,
yeah,
it's like
a Dimebag Darrell situation.
I'm surprised that's never happened in the Comedy Store because the hosts of the open mic there are notoriously harsh on the open micers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I was in a situation similar to this in New York at an open mic at this place called Cake Shop. And this guy went up and was just totally offensive. His first joke out of the gate, the punchline was the N-word, and it was about one of the New York
thing.
Giants.
Oh, God.
And then continued to just... continue on. It wasn't like a, you know, like a non sequitur. He was just going on this
right,
rant.
Right, right.
And then the next comic that went on just spent his entire set like very heavy handedly reaming the guy. And then he gets off stage and they get into a fist fight. And the guy who said the N-word smashed a beer bottle over his face.
Jeez. And it's like, guys, you're getting... you're fighting over 3 minutes at an open mic night.
Yeah. It,
you know, and it's this guy who clocked him has got to be have some other issues going on. And
obviously, but so, I mean, he's also got to fucking face time.
Well, apparently they only like $250,000 for bail, and they said it was like a first degree assault. And it's like, dude, that was attempted murder, man. Like,
yeah.
That's a whole other thing. But Dylan is okay, man, and like talking and walking, and he's
what's
got three
defense?
Kids.
Like, it was a joke. It was a bit. We had it planned out. He just did it wrong.
Oh God,
Jesus.
I mean, it's so I just want to say too how like
it's
horrible. That when I heard that news, I was just like, God, I fucking am so sick to my stomach because he's such a good dude, yeah. and in this comedy community,
I don't know him, and it made me sick.
Of course, man, you saw him, dude. Jim Gaffigan, Doug Stanhope, D.L. Hughley, so many people reposted his GoFundMe link, which if you can find the link for that, Brad, and we'll mention it.
Yeah. Oh, it's a GoFundMe, not Kickstarter.
There's nothing.
If you just search Dylan Avila GoFundMe, it's got to be pop up. But if you can donate anything, because the dude's got, I mean, 4 days in the ICU on top of getting plates in your head, and I'm assuming they were really nice plates, not just plates you can get at the dollar store.
Right, right.
So
they were
like,
China.
Yeah. So it's like that. I mean, we're talking serious bills. So it's like if you can donate $5, you know, don't go get that $5 foot long at Subway, because we all know that bread's made out of styrofoam anyway.
Yeah, okay? Exactly.
And Jared has enough dough, and quite honestly, he's fluctuating with the weight.
Pun intended.
He's fat. He's skinny. He's fat. He's, you know, fucking. That's so.
He's had his time.
He's had his
15 minutes are up.
Yeah. So take that Subway money and send it to Dylan Avila's GoFundMe and help out with the bills because, you know, you just got to pay it forward, man. That's a. I mean, three kids and a wife. The guy, you know, it's. You know.
By the way, his name is DYLANAVILA. So just go to GoFundMe, get whatever you can.
I want.
Holy shit! It's at. Over $19,000 already.
It's incredible.
How fucking awesome is that?
Well, I want to hear more of this.
That's
from
that's a little hard. That's a silver lining in this that you know people are generous.
I want to hear more of the story from the man himself. So we're going to call Dylan right now and get you know I don't know his take on what happened and
sure.
also just hear his voice and give some comfort some you know to the end of this tale and
for what he remembers anyway.
What's up, bro?
Dylan. Oh my God, dude. Is this the Dylan Avila who was tweeted at by Jim Gaffigan?
Yes. This is the one.
Dude, how are you, man? You're here with
I'm good, man. You know, just down at the batting cage taking a few swings.
Wow. Hey.
I'm applauding that.
Dude, that's that's incredible. That's Brad Williams and Sandy Danto here, also on the podcast.
I would say what's up, but I don't think he can hear me because I'm actually talking to the microphone that's not connected.
Yep.
We're literally holding up an iPhone.
Yeah, I'm holding up the iPhone to the mic. It's very...
really high-tech stuff.
Yeah, fuck off, Sandy.
Okay, yeah, I didn't get any of that.
All right, well, they just applauded your opening joke.
Your album should be called Killin' from the ICU.
Sandy said your album should be called Killin' from the ICU.
I was thinking of a headshot.
Oh my God, dude. And then just then the cover is like a really bad headshot.
Yeah.
No, it's fucking X-ray.
It's an X-ray. It's an X-ray headshot, dude.
Nobody's done that before. It's going to change the game.
Headshot.
Yeah. They actually what? Yeah, how does you
put like that.
You go ahead.
X-rays on my cracked skull. That'll be the cover.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you asked me if I'd seen pictures of your head. I mean, is it – I mean, that was gnarly. I mean, can, how much pain are you even in right now? I mean, the fact that you're talking and, like, home is fucking bananas to me and also, you know,
yeah, I'm at,
exciting.
I'm at home today. I got to come home. The pain is okay right now, but that's also thanks to some magic gummy bears that – are very helpful.
Oh, shit, dude. Yes.
Wait, they're prescribing gummy bears at the hospital?
Well, no. No, they were trying to give me Percocets, but my buddy, fellow comic, brought a big old bag full of gummy bears for me.
And that's what comics do!
They can take their Percocets and shove them.
That's what friends are for. Comics will show up and visit you and bring you drug gummy snacks all day.
Dylan,
what other worker and coworkers are gonna bring you drugs?
Dude, maybe the people at Best Buy, but that's just because, you know.
Live it up now. This is the time you have to be on drugs legitimately.
Can't hear you.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, they can't say shit.
Dill, I don't. I mean, I know. I mean, first of all, you've done, like, it's crazy that, I mean, I was just looking at an article from the UK, dude. It's like, this is like getting so much attention. And I know, you know, obviously you're, you know, you posted a very heartfelt, like, message saying just how, you know, grateful you were for all the support, and it was, you know, really incredible. It just goes to show too, like, the comedy community, man, is such a special one that, like, you know, people know, you know, that when you're in it, like, they know the ups and downs, the struggles, the energy, the sacrifices. And it's like, so, you know, it's so, I don't know, man, it was really, it brought me to tears as well to see the amount of people that just, you know, that you knew, you know, obviously, but then, like, I mean, just name some of the people that came, that sent you messages or that have, like, you know, reached out.
Yeah, it's been surreal, man. Like, I've gotten messages from comics in Canada, Germany, Australia,
oh my God,
Hong Kong. Like, it's been insane, man. And just people, yeah, just sending me messages like, hey, man, you know, I run an open mic in Hong Kong, too, you know. Seen some crazy stuff, but nothing like that. And, you know, just sending me well wishes. And Doug Stanhope called me today. That was pretty damn weird.
Oh my God, dude!
Holy shit.
What did he say?
He was like, dude, that is pretty badass. And said I could open for him anytime he comes to Seattle.
Oh,
and,
dude.
He tracked me down and. That was very cool, man. That was, it's like I said, it's just been just surreal, kind of like the love, like, I, you know, the friends and family. You know, I know they're always going to be there for me. I have a very tight knit group. You know, my wife is a soldier, man. She.
Well, yeah, first of all, just putting up with somebody who's doing the comedy thing, man. That takes a very unique woman, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She is a very strong, strong woman, and but it's all the people that, like, I've never met before or never known that are just, you know, it's been just like I can't even keep my phone charged, dude. It's just been blown up off the hook for the last 3 days.
Is it even something? I mean, are you, like, outside of? At some point, I feel like an experience like this is so surreal that it's like, have you even fully registered? I mean, because when you got hit, I mean, and I've seen it on the stories, you said, like, you were about to announce the next guy, and then, you know, you didn't even see him entering your frame of vision, right? You just kind of...
Yeah, no, it was a blur. He snuck up from behind me, and just the way the bar is set up, there's a room kind of behind where the stage is. They have a game room with, like, pool tables and stuff, and he came in through that entrance, and there was no one over there. Everybody was in the show. And we were four comics into it. I was about to introduce the fifth one. Like, I had the mic in my hand when he hit me. And I just kind of turned, and I saw, you know, just this hat. The hat he had on, and this blur just, you know, he cracked me right across the jaw and in my ear, and then got the second hit on the back of the skull. Oh. And then all my friends just watched him.
And I heard you say, too, inches, right, from, I mean, doing some severe damage.
I mean, centimeters. Like, yeah, my dude. The skull had two fractures of my skull, one on the interior and one on the exterior, and both of the fractures were being decompressed into the membrane that surrounds your brain.
Oh, my God.
So you're talking, I mean, centimeters away from my skull puncturing through into my brain.
Oh, my God. And, I mean... Not to make you relive that, but I mean, that's got to, I mean, you're just, I can't imagine that you're not thinking about that statistic a lot and just being like, I mean, you know, just.
It's been going through my head a lot the last, like, since I've been in the hospital, and I mean, and just how lucky and blessed I am to be alive and my friends who saved my life, you know. I mean, they all ran to my care.
Yeah, now have they said what's been happening with the guy that did it? Did they get him? Did they? Do you know what's been happening to the guy that hit you?
Yeah, I've been following up with him, and the detective has been keeping us posted. So he's in jail right now on assault one and a $250,000 bail.
Ugh, that doesn't seem like enough.
He tried to kill me. Attempted murder seems a little more accurate. She had gloves on, for crying out loud.
Yeah, dude. If you're swinging a bat at a fucking head, dude, you're trying to kill. Like, Tonya Harding's friend who struck at the legs.
Yeah. Jeff Galooly.
I don't think she was like, go for the ankles and let's hope that she falls on a plate of ice, you know, and cracks that head. Like, it was just like, take her out of the competition. You're swinging at the head. You're taking out the whole package.
Yeah, he's trying to take my life.
And it was unprovoked, right?
Sandy asked if it was unprovoked.
Well, he was upset because I had banned him from the open mic the week before.
But legitimately, like, he was doing bad stuff, right?
He was doing bad stuff. Sandy asked, like, he was right. He was doing offensive material and whatnot.
It was awful. The worst thing I've ever seen. Like, I can't even. There was no jokes. He legitimately thought he was Jesus Christ.
And
he said he came back in 2004, and he's waving this double ended dildo around. And
that seems very un-Jesus like.
Yeah. I was like, can you walk on water? I don't think you walk on water.
I didn't know Jesus was also a dildo magician. But
I'm an advocate for free speech, but maybe not free.
Well, there's also and that's also what I dig about you, man, is that like when I was telling these guys when you would come, I'd start meeting you at the parlor and you were like, you know, asking me advice, and then when you first started, I think, is when I met you, right? And you were just
maybe 8 months in.
Yeah, man, and I don't remember exactly what I told you, but hopefully it was, you know, something that was, you know, worthwhile. But I think starting a room, I feel like, was something I remember mentioning, whether that's what prompted you to start this room or not. But but it's like you take pride in that shit, and so, you know, I'm good on you for being like, yo, this is an open mic where people are taking time out to come out and work their shit, and if you're going to abuse it, then, you know, this isn't the time to do shitty biblical impressions. Especially when they're sexual, fucking toy related.
Yeah, I don't like to set too many rules in my room. You know, comics that come from all walks of life, and they got their voices, and they got to say what they got to say. But they're up there with the intent to make people laugh. And there was no intention out of his set to make people laugh. And so it's making everybody uncomfortable in the room. And when you're doing that... But yeah, I was just saying, nah, dude, I've never banned anybody from my room. And I had no joy in watching it whatsoever. And so when he came back, and he had actually been banned from the Comedy Underground as well. I don't know if you saw, like, he wrote a big manifesto to them. And yeah, the dude was clearly unstable.
Now, was the Jesus dildo thing his first offense, or did he do, like, you know, Gandhi with anal beads? Was this, like, how many other, like, prolific figures was he trying to down?
He did Moses with a sex swing.
with a mouth gag. This was the only thing I saw of him. And when he came back, I was like, are you going to do that again? And he did it again. And then he came down and sat next to me, and he was like, He comes down and I let him go up 2 weeks in a row, actually. That's how, like, you know, I let him go up. Becoming an underground didn't even do that. And so when he came down and sat next to me after his second set, and I lit him after a minute.
Yeah.
I was like, no, dude, you did this again, you're done. And he comes in, he's like, hey, man, are there any other open mics around? And I was like, yeah, there are a lot of open mics around, and you should go to none of them.
yeah. Well, it's, you know, and I'm just glad that you, you know, you did everything right, man. You can't, you know, you can't go back, and I'm sure you replay stuff when it happens like this, where you're like, oh, maybe I should have been nicer and whatever, but it's like, no, dude, you gotta, you know, that's your, you gave him chances too, and it's like, you know, you,
yeah, at some point I had to draw the line, and even the first night, like, I knew, once he wrote down his name as Jesus Christ, oh, man, this is a red flag, and so I had there was a really funny comment. I don't know if you know Brian Moot.
Yeah, or Roll. Yeah, Moot's great.
So he had hit me up. He wanted to come down and do a set. And, so I was like, cool, man. And he comes down and I was like, hey, man, there's a guy, Jesus Christ, on the lineup. Like, do you want to go after him? like, I know I'm going to need somebody really, really talented to follow that.
Yeah.
And it was. That was exactly what we needed because he put the room in such a weird,
disarray.
An uncomfortable move.
Oh, God.
Like, he was just going to kill the whole... He was going to burn down my whole room.
Oh, God.
And so Brian got up there and roasted him for, like, 4 solid minutes. And I mean, it was fantastic.
Well, have you even started to, and we don't want to keep you too much longer, man, because I want to let you rest, but I appreciate you even taking time, man. We're just... have you even started to, I mean, like, obviously the doc's orders are to lay low for a little bit, right? And I mean, I don't know, the fact that you're home so 4 days, I mean, 4 days isn't a short stint in the hospital, but I mean, you know, for what happened and for how successful the surgery was. Yeah, you had brain surgery, dude. Like, that's fucking, I don't know anything. I mean, you know, when Ebola came out, I saw one of the symptoms was, like, you know, chronic, like, fatigue. And, like, at 3 a.m. one night, I had a really abnormally long yawn, and I was like, I'm dying. You know, so it's like, I know nothing about the medical.
Ebola's not brain surgery.
All right, easy, Jay Leno. But I mean, like, is your plan to just, like, I mean, obviously you're thinking so moment to moment now, but I mean, are you even thinking in terms of getting back on stage and writing, or are you just like, I want to be with my family?
I already have my triumphant return will be next Saturday, the 17th, at the Neptune Theater up in Seattle. I'm opening for Craig Gass for 2 shows.
Dude,
love it. Dedicated to the craft.
Dude, that's unbelievable, dude. I mean,
I get my staples taken out on Friday. Next Friday, I'll have my staple. I have 16 staples in my head, like big, like construction-style staples. So I'm getting those taken out of my head on Friday.
Coincidentally, I'm going to Staples next Friday, so...
The store or the center?
The center.
The struggle is real, man.
And then once those are out, that's the true sign of, like, okay, I'm done with the hospital. I mean, you probably have some checkups here and there.
Yeah, I got to go back in there Friday, and I have stitches in my ear that also need to be taken out. But then other than that, yeah, it's just kind of just chilling, man. I've been sitting on the couch watching a movie and eating my gummy bears.
Dude, and you get to see, you haven't seen your kids yet, right? You got 3 kids?
I have not seen him yet, and that's definitely been the hardest part. It's been hard to even talk about him, but my wife's mom has them tonight. I was supposed to do a show tonight with Big Irish Jay and Chuck and Kane Holler. I was booked on the show, and so they turned that into a benefit show. My wife's up there right now with them, kind of saying thank you.
Dude, that's amazing. Yeah, when you see your kids, that's gonna be an incredible moment, man. I mean,
I didn't want them coming and see me in the hospital like that, and they know that Daddy just got hit in the head with a bat because somebody was just being unsafe with a baseball bat. Like, we're not even gonna tell them that it was an attacker or this evil man who tried to kill Daddy. We don't need to scare them. We'll give them
the
gentle truth.
They'll find out when they listen to this podcast, man, because I don't know if you know, but your kids are big fans of the About Last Night podcast.
I don't know. Maybe tell them. You might sprout like the next Batman. Like, he'll like, oh, you hit my daddy with a bat. Now I'm going to be a fucking superhero.
My kids are really young, so.
But I want to let you know that the GoFundMe campaign that you got going on right now is right at about $20,000. And,
oh my God, it's been so unbelievable, man. Yeah. Like,
so you got $20,000 to help pay for medical bills, but for anyone that's been in the hospital for anything serious, you know that that's not enough. So we encourage all our listeners to go to the GoFundMe page and donate whatever you can to help out a father, to help out a comic, but mostly just to help out a good guy.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this much. I'm going to donate $1,000 when I get off the phone call with you, man.
Oh man, I don't even know how to thank you guys. I mean, honestly, it's just touching, man, and I really appreciate it,
dude. I mean, it's you're an amazing dude, man, and in the little time I've gotten to know you, it's like, you know, just seeing your spirit on TV, man, and how gracious you are, and just, you know, it's like, you don't want this stuff to happen to anybody, but it's like, you again, you're one of our own, and obviously you would be doing everything that people are doing for you if this was anybody else. And yeah, no, you know,
the comedy community is the tightest workforce in the world. We are the biggest gang in the world. And when one of us falls, man, that was like the most beautiful thing I've seen. And it, you know, I've seen it before, even my tragedy. When anybody, there's been something that's happened, the comedians just rally around it. And I don't know any better people than, you know, everybody likes to make fun of comedians that were deranged or degenerate, but I don't know of any better people than people that I call friends and comedians.
Amen, dude. Amen. Dale, thanks for taking time, man, and look forward to seeing you up in Seattle, man. I'll be up there again with Adam Devine at the Neptune Theater in March, and so you got to come hang and
yeah, man, yeah, hit me up.
Hit you up. It's a little too soon for those type of puns, man. all right, dude.
Oh, man, I got a hard hit. I can take it.
All right, get safe, man. We love you.
Thanks, you guys. All right, too.
See you, bud.
What a great dude.
Holy shit.
Yeah, man.
He has kids, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Go to
the fucking, it just, like,
page.
Gives me chills, man.
Yeah, me yeah. too.
It's
horrifying.
Yeah, well, I mean, because, you know, we feel invincible up on that stage with that microphone, and you forget, oh, right, there's no wall. These people are right here, and it's live. And if someone has a deranged thought like that, unfortunately, that kind of shit
can happen. It sounds like this guy is mentally ill.
It does.
People that do shit like that, there's a couple screws loose, and it's like no sane – because sane people have enough reason.
Well, I think there are sane people that have tempers that if –
Yeah, you get
if
heated.
You're going to react like that, you're going to do it immediately when the guy says you can't come back.
Yeah.
But this guy was like plotting.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so it's absolutely attempted murder. But
what's that GoFundMe one more time?
GoFundMe.com/JSKM4G, or you just type in
Dylan Avila.
Dylan Avila. Type that into GoFundMe. Find it, Google it, donate. Let's get this thing way above $20,000.
Yeah, and, I just said I'm giving $1,000, and that came out. And hey, man, if the voice of Hyundai is giving $1,000, then guess what? The citizens of
citizens.
Oh wow,
the citizens of Gotham, you will rise up. help this young comic.
What a great signature. By the way, that's so like in. I mean, so how great is that too? Like that, his spirits are that. Like to open with a joke about I was at the batting cage, and then to close unknowingly and saying, hit me up, dude.
Yeah. Like, perfect, man. So as you can tell, he's a good guy, and it feels weird to end the podcast on that kind of note. But at the same time,
you know, I think it's inspirational. Yeah, the guy's not letting something like this get him down.
Fuck,
he's going back
dude.
Out, getting the staples out of his head and going to perform the next day.
Isn't that incredible, dude? Like, none of us know how we would respond in these situations. Like, there's no, because guess what? If he was just wanting to stay home and eat gummy bears for the next 8 weeks and hang out with his kids,
no one would say anything.
No one would say shit.
That's what I would do.
That's what you do.
I'm going to go hang out with his kids.
Sandy Dantu, we appreciate you stopping
Thanks
by.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah.
You're blessed. You have to
plug your stuff, man.
Yeah.
I'm on Twitter.
Oh, right.
At Sandy Danto. I'm on the internet, sandydanto.com. And I got some things in the works. Can't really announce them yet. But,
okay.
Okay.
Had a meeting tonight that went pretty well.
Fuck yeah, dude. Well, you're one of the funniest people we both know. And so it's, you know.
You guys. Seriously, no,
you're the best. No, man.
Don't turn it into that. You guys really are.
Oh. And then
super funny. I listen to your podcast.
Thank you, and Pauly.
No, I'm on.
Pauly, you got to plug anything,
dude? Listen to my podcast and watch my Showtime special, Pauly Shore Stands Alone.
All right,
it's on Showtime.
Oh, really? Oh, that's fantastic.
Or show.com.
And Dean Del Rey. Do you have anything to plug?
Let there be talk.
All right. Thanks, Dean. You can find me on Twitter at Funny Brad. You can go to my website, bradwilliamscomedy.com, and figure out all my dates. Denver, Colorado, I'm coming to you to be at the Comedy Works, my favorite damn club in the country, January 14th through the 17th. And then Baltimore, Maryland, I'm going to be at the Comedy Factory, January 30th through the 31st. And then Cincinnati, Ohio. I'm going to be at the Funny Bone, which is actually located in Kentucky.
Yep. Newport, Kentucky.
In Newport, Kentucky. So it's
the Cincinnati Funny Bone.
Yes. And I'm going to be there February 5th through the 7th.
Wonderful. And of course, follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy, AdamRayTV.com for videos and tour dates and my album, Pop Tart Suicide. And I'm going on a big theater tour with Adam Devine February 10th through March 7th. I posted a link on my Facebook, but if you just Google Adam Devine tour, you'll see all the dates. We're Austin, Orlando, Seattle, Portland, Chicago, New York, Pennsylvania.
Going all over.
That's going
so
all over.
Rad.
Yeah, it'll be great. I mean, it's I'm excited. You know, I've never been on a theater tour, and it's like and with a guy who's at like Beatles status right now. Yeah. So it should be fun.
Wait, when does this go up?
Monday.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I have something to promote the day before it goes up. So.
Son of a bitch. You
are rat.
Hopefully you saw Sandy Danto at...
Hopefully you saw Sandy Danto at the Hollywood Improv on January 7th at 7 p.m. Yard sale beforehand.
Fantastic. And as always, go to iTunes and rate the podcast. Comment on the podcast. That's how we rise in the rankings. That's how we get even better guests. And we got some great ones coming up.
Yeah, but I mean, it's going to be tough to top because, like, if it really quick just to talk about how great this past year was. I mean, for all of us. I mean, personally, professionally.
Sure.
Know that in terms of the podcast, like, we're going to be cutting a best of soon. Because
that's so cool.
Yeah, because I just, you know, it's like when we first started the John Lovitz Comedy Club, and Sandy, you were a part of that first.
Toad Hop. No. Sandy, we did the Sean Astin.
When Brad was gone.
Yeah, when Brad was gone, and I just did Pauly the whole time. He's like, that's so weird.
Sean Astin from Lord of the Rings, Encino Man, Goonies,
right.
And you asked
fucking
him,
Rudy, dude.
Yeah, you asked. Oh, that's right. You
fucking
asked Sean
Rudy.
As Pauly why you weren't in Lord of the Rings,
dude. How come I didn't get to be in Lord of the Rings, bro? I would have been a good what? A good hobbit.
But I mean, the guest that we got to have and the way the podcast has grown is, you know, largely due in part to all you who listen and want to keep hearing us do this, and it makes us want to make the shows better and get bigger guests. And I never thought we would have Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Bobby Lee, Bob Saget, Kevin Nealon, Melissa McCarthy, Tony Danza.
Tony Danza.
That's the one I'm most excited for you guys about because as long as I've known Adam, he's been doing the Tony Danza impression. We were in a video where he was Tony Danza and I was like his personal chef, and I asked him to make me toast.
YouTube Tony Danza cribs. It's one of my favorite videos ever.
The Dana Carvey one is so good.
Oh, thank you, man.
Thanks, buddy.
And guess what?
It's incredible.
The Sandy Danza one is also really great.
Happy New Year.
Right.
Thanks for listening.
So that's the show.
it's me, Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.